Well, amen. What a blessing the music has been tonight. I've been tremendously blessed through it this evening. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5, in our Sunday evening services, we've been looking at the preaching on the teachings of Jesus Christ, the teachings of Christ. And we started when he was 12 years of age, and what a blessing it was to see that his life had purpose, his entire life. And then we've gone through different things, and we got to chapter 5, and that's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount, as you heard me say, I believe it's a blueprint for New Testament Christianity. And Jesus went up to the mountain. He called his disciples, which would be his apostles, up to him, and he set them down, and he started teaching them. He first of all gave them the revelation of the Beatitudes, the mindset, the way that Christians ought to respond is the Beatitudes. And that is not something that's natural. It's something that you have to yield to the Holy Spirit of God to be able to live and have that kind of an attitude and respond the way that God would have us to respond. And so he gave them the Beatitudes. And after the Beatitudes, he revealed to them how important their testimony was. And we studied that, preached on that last week, the idea of salt and light. Two things that the world has to have. Humanity has to have that to survive. And I believe Christianity needs to present that because that's the two examples that he used as far as our testimony. It's salt. It has to have a savor that is different from the world. And it's light. You don't hide it. You present it. You lift it up to draw people unto the Lord. And so salt and light. Well, after that, then verse 17. And that's what we're looking at tonight. Verse 17 down to verse 19. So if you would, if you're able to, you can stand tonight. And you at home, likewise, go ahead and stand if you'd like to do so. And read the Word of God with me. As I read it, you follow right along with me. Verse 17. Then Jesus said this. He said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, again, we thank you for every opportunity that you make available to us just to be able to draw closer to you. And Lord, we know the greater our understanding of the Word of God and the more knowledge we have, the more we can draw closer to you. I thank you for what we've already received being in this assembly tonight. And now I just pray, God, that as we have read this passage of Scripture, that you'd give each one of us insight and help us to understand and be able to apply it to our lives. Empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So here, right after he gives the sermon, in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, after he gives the understanding of the testimony of being salt and light, then he addresses the Old Testament law. It's important because that's what they had to live by. Up until the coming of Jesus Christ, the Jews had two guides for life. They first of all had the Old Testament scriptures, which is presented as the law and the prophets, or if you will, God's word. It's what God had revealed to them in the Old Testament for the Old Testament time, the Old Testament covenant. But Jesus came to present the New Testament, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But we find that's what they had to live by. And then they had the religious leaders. The direction, the testimony the religious leaders who were supposed to be following after and teaching the law and the prophets. Now, not too much different from today. I mean, we have the completion of the Word of God. We have the Bible today, which is the most important thing. And then we have religious leaders. We have churches today, which are supposed to be preaching and teaching the Bible. And that's what we have to go by. At the coming of Christ, they had the law and the prophets, but sadly to say, they had the religious leaders had perverted the scriptures. Jesus would address that here, and we're just going to look at a few verses just to kind of get you, your mind where it needs to be in understanding this. In chapter 6, even on the Sermon on the Mount, he said this. He said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites," those religious leaders, "do in the synagogues, in the places of assembly, and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Now, if you would continue and look at, on several different places, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reveals some of those very same things. And he would say things like, "You have heard." And they had been hearing, this is how you apply the Old Testament law and the prophets to your life, these religious leaders. So they had been teaching wrongly. They had perverted the Old Testament law and the prophets. Chapter 16 of the book of Matthew. In chapter 16 and verse 6, "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." There was the scribes, which were supposed to be scholars on the Old Testament law. There were the Pharisees, which is one of the religions of the Old Testament. I mean, as they come into the New Testament, the Sadducees, there's these religious leaders, and each one having a little bit different take on the law and the prophets. He went on to explain that when he talked about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In verse 12, he said this, "Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread," wasn't talking about the leaven of bread, "but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." The doctrine is what they believed the Old Testament law and the prophets taught for them to live by. And they had taken that and they had perverted it. Look in chapter 23. One of the things that Jesus addressed when he came is these perversions of Old Testament law and prophets, the prophecies of the prophets. Chapter 23, verse 13. Chapter 23 and verse 13. He said, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." He often referred to them as hypocrites. "For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men." No actual communication between men and God because they were not following God. So you shut up the opening, the communication of the kingdom of heaven against men. "For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple is a debtor." And so he presented several different things that they were teaching and the perversions of what they had come down to. But mainly the idea here was you have the law and you have the prophets, the prophecies of the prophets. That's part of how God revealed his word in Old Testament. They had the Old Testament law. And then they had the prophets that would continue to present the truths of God through prophecies. So go back with me in chapter 5 with that understanding of what's taken place. Now he's here and he has given them the attitudes of New Testament Christianity. He has revealed to them the importance of their testimony. It's salt and it's light. And then knowing what they had been taught previously and what was still taking place around them, he says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And in fulfilling, making clear God's intent for everything he presented in the Old Testament. So the first thing here tonight, verse 17, the law is not to be destroyed. The law is not to be destroyed. Some wrongly suggest that we should not look to the Old Testament at all, because we're under grace. They claim that grace will be able to overcome any sin. Now, that's somewhat true, because in Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved." And when you're saved, then you have your sins forgiven. You have been reconciled back to God. But you are saved through faith. Faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. That he came to pay your sin debt. But he didn't come to pay our sin debt that would enable us to continue in sin. And some say you can't really sin because God's grace covers your sin. And therefore, you are free to live however you want to live and do whatever you want to do because it's under grace. And that's a perversion of grace. Romans in chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6 helps us to understand that that is a perversion of grace. In Romans in chapter 6, verses 1 down to verse 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Almost like it's pleasing God that we continue to sin so that his grace can cover our sins. But then the Bible says this, God forbid. Jesus didn't come to die for your sins, to cleanse you of your sins, to give you the green light to live and to do whatever you want to do. Because when you do that, you lose your savor as salt. You can't continue to live in the world and be like the world, because if you do that, then you lose your savor as salt. That's why it was so very important that they would understand this idea of the law is not to be destroyed. He did not come to destroy the law. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? See, when we get saved, we ought to be dead to that sin. We ought to have a new life in Christ. And as Paul said, I die daily. I crucify the flesh so that I might let Christ live in and through me. Not grace to live however you want to live and do whatever you want to do. Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, We are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should, look right here, walk in newness of life. Amen. So, by grace are you saved? Through faith. And it's our faith in Jesus Christ that allows us to live a Christ-like life, according to what he presented as the Beatitudes, something I will not normally live by. It's beyond the sin nature. It's a spiritual nature, a nature of Christ, to be Christian in my attitudes and to understand the idea of being having a savior that the world needs. So it's the law is not to be destroyed, then it's the law that teaches us. Galatians in chapter 3. This is powerful right here. Trust you're getting this tonight. It's the law that teaches us. Not to be destroyed, it's to be taught. And it's to be understood, and we'll get into that in just a few minutes here. But as we study the law, the Old Testament law, we're not under the law any longer, but it's not to be destroyed, it's to be taught. It teaches us. It's to be understood. Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 21 says this: Is the law then against the promise of God? Question mark. God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law, and we would have a work salvation. If there was a law given or something that you could do yourself, whatever work might be, to gain everlasting life, to gain forgiveness of sins, then verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. That's what the law was presented to teach us. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. No one's ever been saved by living by the law, but by the law we understand we need a Savior, and in the Old Testament they had faith in knowing the Savior was going to come. The law was there to help them to understand why they needed a Savior, the Messiah, and that they could have faith in knowing that he would come. Look at verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. A schoolmaster could be a teacher. That's what he's revealing. We're under the law because the law is teaching us that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and that the Savior would come and he would provide for us a forgiveness of sins. The law was there to teach us that. But once the Savior came and I graduated out of that class, I'm no longer under that teacher. But I have the things that he taught me while I was under that teacher to apply for the rest of my life. I wish I'd have known that when I was in school. I would have paid more attention to the teachers. Amen. Most of the time in school, I thought, nah, this stuff I'm never going to use. Who needs English? Who would ever think I was going to be involved in public speaking? Yeah. School teacher. They have you there to teach you. Once you have learned, you graduate and move on. You're no longer under that school teacher because now you have what the school teacher wanted you to learn. That's the law. I mean, you can't explain it any better than that. As we find here, Paul explained it to the church in Galatia, and God recorded it for us in the very words of God. And Jesus saying to us, I've not come to destroy the law. The law is our school teacher. It's there for us to learn what God has us to learn about our need to have faith in a Savior. Go back with me. The law and the prophets are part of God's design plan for humanity. The Old Testament law and prophets were part of God's design plan for humanity. They were given to be fulfilled. They were never perfect in themselves. They were the beginning of knowledge. They were given so that we would be prepared for them to be fulfilled in Christ. Look what he says. For verily I say unto you, Jesus said here, I am not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass. Till heaven and earth pass, until this earth is burned up, till after God is done with the earth and humanity on the earth, as we preached on somewhat this morning, one jot or one tittle shall nowise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Jot or tittle of the law could be said, not one point, not one iota. Because there's a purpose for every point of the law. There's a purpose for every area that God gave concerning the law, and every prophet that prophesied from God, there was a design, plan, and a purpose for that. And Jesus came to fulfill it, the part that he was to fulfill. Matthew chapter 24. Keep your thinking caps on. Amen. It's still maybe a little deep, but it's good stuff. Powerful stuff. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Know anything about fig trees, I guess? You can tell what time of the year it is by looking at the fig trees. I think when you look out, if the tree's not dead but doesn't have any leaves on it, you're thinking it's wintertime. Yeah. If it has leaves on it and everything's in full bloom, it's more than likely spring or summer. Somewhat is what he's saying there. He said you can look around and see this, and that's what he's... So likewise, when ye shall see all these things that he had presented at the end times, signs, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation, the generation of the church age, shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, but they will be fulfilled. The law has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The prophecies of the prophets are being fulfilled. there's still some Old Testament prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled, because some of them have to do with the rapture, and others have to do with the tribulation. Others will have to do with the millennial reign of Christ. We can't do away with those prophecies. We have to just understand these are the prophecies and look to them to be fulfilled. And they will be fulfilled. If the prophecy of the Messiah has been fulfilled, then the prophecy of the Messiah, that he is going to come again, it will be fulfilled. Amen. And understanding that Jesus came not to destroy, but to fulfill, to make sense out of all of it, can be a tremendous help and a blessing to us. Yeah. Jesus fulfilled the law. Prophets are still being fulfilled of their prophecy. Lastly, go back there with me, Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Whosoever, therefore, understanding these things that he's just taught, shall break one of the least commandments or the fulfillment of the law, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them the fulfilled laws, if you will, Christianity, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now there's a whole lot there. The fulfilled law is to be understood. As we understand it, it is to be lived, doing it, applying it. And as we understand it and are living it, it is to be taught to others. Because that's how people understand. That's how people get saved. That's how people learn of Christianity. Because somebody's helping them to understand. They need to have a church, and they need to have genuine Christians to look to for an example of not only understanding it, but living it. And as you are understanding it to live it, then the next step is teach it. Present it to others. Now that's something that all of us would say we would understand, that we know we ought to be doing that. But boy, when we put it in the light of what Christ is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, wow, it's something that we need to evaluate ourselves. First of all, do we understand it? Ephesians in chapter 1. Ephesians in chapter 1. I trust that's one of the reasons you're in church tonight, and that's one of the reasons you wanted to continue, even if you weren't here, to be able to live stream it, and you want to understand the Bible. And can I tell you, one of the things that we need to be doing above everything else as a church is teaching the Bible, helping people to understand what the Bible says, because they will never do what the Bible says until, first of all, they understand what the Bible says. And in understanding the reason that this is what the Bible says and the reason for Jesus teaching it to be the salt and the light, to live by the Beatitudes, we will not follow through and we will not do those things unless we understand them. So we find here in Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 15, let me get over there myself, book of Ephesians in chapter 1, as Paul writing to the church in Ephesus here, he says in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Because he knew that's what they needed most. Not what had been perverted by the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but what had been presented through the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. We don't need religion today. We need Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. The eyes, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. If you understand that, if you have that knowledge, it will help you to get through the coronavirus. It'll help you to get through, as we preach on this morning, whatever it is that we're going to have to face in this day and time. Who knows if this is just the beginning of the end, amen? I don't know when the rapture is going to take place. I don't know what we're going to have to, how deep or how what we're going to have to face before Jesus calls the church home. But I know that he has given to us what we have need to be prepared for it. And as we're prepared for it, we can still be the salt, because the world will need that salt more than ever. And we can still be the light. And we can still have an attitude of Christ-likeness. Which when the people see it, it makes a difference. Yeah. Understood. And once we understand, we are to do. That's what verse 19, that's what we're to do. And then to teach. This goes back again to their testimony of salt. As I do that, then I have my savor. I have what the world needs. As I am understanding the scriptures and then doing according to the scriptures, it's different from the world. Because I have a savor. Go back with me, Matthew chapter 5 there. I'm letting that light so shine. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. So my works is based on understanding what the Bible says and then doing that. And that's a savor, that's good works, which is important. Doesn't get you saved, but it is what a saved person ought to do. And then he says this, whoso therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, you're not living by it, but you still call it Christianity, or you still call it Bible. And by that, you're teaching others or condoning that which the Bible is very clearly against. But you're condoning, even though you know it's against the Bible, but you somehow think that it's all right because of grace. The lifestyle that churches have accepted, which is against the Bible. And as a church, we say that's all right and it's accepted, then that's against the teachings of Christ. And some think it's all right because it's under grace. And that's not, that's a perversion of grace. And Jesus said, for those who break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Break the commandments and then teach it by condoning or promoting it are called least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's different thoughts on this. They believe that, some believe that, well, it's those in heaven that are looking at that as being least. I don't believe that. I believe it's talking about some people that are saved and should be taking the stands and preaching and teaching Bible, but are not. You don't lose that salvation. But you're going to find yourself least in the kingdom of heaven. The Bible doesn't explain what that's going to be in heaven, but it does talk about being in heaven. So it is talking to those that are saved. Can I tell you, there's some Baptist churches that supposedly have the same doctrine, but they're not applying it as God would have us to apply it. And they're perverting certain things concerning the standards and the separation that make God's people the salt of the earth, that have a Savior, that makes them different from the world. And that's Baptist, let alone other religion and other denominations. And I can't speak for them. Gotta let God continue to work that. That's Him. That's His oversight. What we are to do is what He says the second part. But whosoever shall do and teach them. In order to do, you have to understand them. The fulfillment of the law, the teachings of Christ. Do and teach them. The same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So we find here that there's going to be in heaven, according to the word of God, least and great. What does that mean? It means just what it says. Based on your works, based on our understanding, our applying and teaching others, there's going to be rewards or not in heaven. Called great. The Bible doesn't tell us what the difference is. I often tell people that, you know, you think about heaven and understand this. It will far exceed your greatest expectations. You cannot think heaven to be better than what it's going to be. Now, I love that. Because whatever expectations you want heaven to have, whatever greatness that you want to think that you're going to enjoy in heaven, it will exceed your greatest expectations. Nothing on this earth can do that. Most of the time, because of our expectations, we are hurt and we are let down and we are discouraged. If you don't have any expectations, you can't be discouraged by somebody else. If I have no expectations about how you treat me, you can treat me any way. It's not going to affect me one way or the other because I have no expectations of you treating me anyway. But if you have expectations and that person does not meet those expectations, sometimes marriage is that way. You get married thinking that this is going to be the husband of your dreams. Until after the first night or two, and then it's all over. And you think, where did that man go that I dated? Yeah, and then reality sets in. You cannot have too high of expectations of heaven. But the Bible says there's going to be least, and there's going to be great blessings. Rewards. What do you want? Do you want to be called least? Or do you want the greatest blessings that are available in heaven? Yeah. One prophecy that addresses this to some point, we're going to close, we're done, but Daniel chapter 12. Just want to share this with you. I think it'll Ezekiel and then Daniel. In Daniel chapter 12, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, Daniel gives prophecy. This is some of the prophecy that Jesus talked about. He came to fulfill the law and the prophecies of him. There's still other prophecies that have not been fulfilled that will be fulfilled. And Daniel says this in his prophecy in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now he sees those that are die without Christ are going to go immediately to a devil's hell after death. And after the rapture, we're going to find that there's going to be those that are going to spend eternity in a devil's hell, the great white throne judgment. And there's going to be those that die in Christ that's going to be resurrected into the presence of God. And so some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Brightness. Somehow or other, I believe there's going to be brightness in the lives of those in heaven. According to what he's talking about here, there's not going to be any sun because there's no need for the sun. There's not any night, but Christ himself will be the light in heaven. And there's something about when Moses come down from the mount, how the brightness blinded those. They couldn't even look upon him. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was something about the brightness. There's going to be something that's going to have to do with brightness and glory. I can't explain to you. The Lord leaves it up to our own imagination sometimes. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. He said, Daniel, that's all I want you to give them right now. But he gave us that. He gave us just a little glimpse into what life in heaven might be like. And there's going to be a difference between those that understand, apply, and teach Christianity, genuine biblical Christianity. There'll be a difference between them and those who fail to do so. Jesus teaching the disciples, I didn't come to destroy the law. I've come to fulfill it. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Understand them so that we might apply it. And as we are applying it, teach it. That's what we do as a church. That is exactly what we do as a church. And we are to continue to do it no matter what is taking place until Christ returns for his church. What a tremendous lesson from the Savior. Father, we bow before you now. Love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, as we study the Sermon on the Mount and we understand these things that you are presenting to your apostles and you have recorded for us today, I pray, God, that we would not ever look to pervert the truths, but we would study to understand, to live, and to teach. Bless now in this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.